All right, we'll start from the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet. Just review it quickly so we can go into the Gemara today. Bishanosui Dalad Nashim, someone who was married to four women, who mates, then he passes away. Harishono Kodemet Lishnia. Right, then the first wife has precedence over the second wife. Shnia Lishlishit, Shlishit Revit. Each wife, meaning that they married in sequential order, and each one has precedence over the other one. The Rishon Lishbeit Lishnia, the first wife takes the Shvuah to the second wife, Shnia the Shlishi, to the second one to the third one, the Shlishi the Revit, and the third one to the fourth wife. But Revit Nivreit Shalob Shvuah. And the fourth one takes it with any Shvuah because there's nobody after. There's nobody after.
Nobody can fill claimants after.
Benana Somer, Bechid Bibne Shi Achrona Niskerit. Just because she's last, she should benefit and not have to take a shvuah. Avi lo tipra elo b'shvuah. She too should not go out without a shvuah. Hayyotzu kulam b'yom echad. Now, what happens if all the staros are on one day? I mean, he married all four of them in a single day. Even we count hours, not just days, we count hours. Then we give precedence on an hourly basis. What happens if they all have the same hour? I mean, that there's no diuk for them, at least. There's no, they don't have a dachnik in time more than that. Right? Right? So they all have one shah, and there's only one mana, they all get it equally, whatever shavah means, which we discussed yesterday.
Right. Which sounds like the first part of the Mishnah.
It's chalak b'shavah, but we said there was machlokas, rashi, and the other geonim usually, and tosvos. And the Rosh and others on that side, whether Shavah means equal or proportionate, right? But my commitment gave, what are they arguing about in the Mishnah? The Nanas and the Tanakama, what are they arguing about? Amar Shmuel, Kagon, Shinipzeit, Akmehen, Soda, Sheena, Shalov. One of the women found out that one of the fields is suspect here. Meaning that it sounds like her husband might have stolen or bought it off someone who was stolen. It was hot property. And therefore, she's going to lose the property that she was govel. And we're worried about here is what a baal chov that comes who has a later date. Right? He doesn't have rights, he has a later right to the property, but he went ahead and took it beforehand. We had this earlier in the parak last week about whether if we have a baal chov, the first mission in the parak, if we have a baal chov that comes along and grabs before another baal chov, does he really have a right to do this? I mean, that the whole point of having a date on it is that your lien precedes the other lien, and therefore, right, you should be able to get first rights. But what happens if the person with the second rights went ahead and took it anyway? So that's the machlokas benanas, according to Shmuel, benanas in the Tanakhama is about this. Right, so Tanakhama suffer much gobo, lo gobo. Whatever she took, or whatever the machlok took, is not permanent. So therefore, say number one, two, and three took property, but number three's property is questionable because it could have been stolen property. And number four goes ahead and takes the fourth piece of property. So according to the Tanakhama, that's not a problem because if the number three's property gets taken because it was stolen property, she'll just go to number four and take the property from number four. So she has no loss in doing such a thing.
She can't
force her to take a shvuah because she won't lose by number four taking property.
Right. I don't understand how the shvuah helps because
there is no shvuah according to Ben. That's according to Tanakhama says there is no shvuah.
But if there was a shvuah according to the other opinion,
that's because he believes here. Benanas believes Moshe Gava Gava. When the fourth woman takes her property, that's a permanent selection, and it's irreversible at this point. So therefore, he requires a shvuah.
She's still sitting outside.
If she didn't take this shvuah, would it be a permanence?
Not according to the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says that if you, for instance,
according to Benanas,
right, it will be a permanent.
It's permanent. Without a shvuah, why does the shvuah make it even?
No, because it will be permanent, right?
Make Shlishi the third woman feel better.
Because it will be permanent.
What is the Shvuah? The Shvuah is
that she didn't take anything else. She hasn't made a claim from anywhere else on the estate.
Double collection.
Right. What's that got to do with the third woman?
I agree. You know, whatever. I was thinking about it yesterday. I don't. In the next case also, if Nachman Esau has an Akimta, I don't think the Shvuah solves the problem. All I think it does is it makes her feel comfortable that
at least she's not getting twice.
She's not collecting double, or she's not, you know, shouldn't sneak money under the table to pay for a ksuba, and now she's taking this land, which is really entitled to.
But the third one is actually out of the ksuba. Should be out of the ksuba once they take
so
it.
So I agree with you. The shvua does not solve the problem, according to Ben Anas. It doesn't make it any better for her, because just as she takes a shvua, doesn't mean that the number three is not going to lose. It just makes it right. It's a...
I thought it was just misunderstanding.
No. It's just that she won't... she'll feel better that her friend only got one time, not two times, I guess. That's probably the best way to say it. All right. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm a Rabbi Baravua. To Kuli Amma, Moshe Gobba, Gobba.
Why can't she say now, she was telling her to decide that? In other words, woman on the Gimel, she took seven on the Gimel. Woman Dalit hasn't taken the seven yet.
She has, because she's Moshe Gobba, Gobba.
No, but she hasn't taken it yet. I mean, Mashmuna says she hasn't taken it. That's what saying, I'm on Mashmuna before you take it. Before you take it.
Tosa says, ask the question. Tosa says, if you look right across here, right by the top line of the Gemara, it says, Fakasha, the Rebbe, based on Rashi's Pshat. Rashi's Pshat is that she knows us, she nigzala. Rashi says that when the third woman, her property, it's well known that it was gzula already. So Rashi says, if that's the case, why is this third woman just not take the fourth property now?
Right?
Meaning, that why bother? And then he says, the catch of the Rabbi, the Mistama, Kishresh Bina Revit, Mashmasha Dainlo Gafta. That she didn't take it, right? She didn't take it already. I mean, why does it make sense? Why are you being Mashbia her if she never took a piece of property? The only reason to be Mashbia her is if she already took it to make sure that her taking is going not going to hurt the third party. And especially, he says, what's typical for him is that for Rashi, right, number three knows it's a stolen property. So why is she even letting number four come and take this property? Let her throw out her property and go take number four's property. So that's his problem.
Is there a statute of limitations
on claims?
Both sides.
If you have, technically there is, Boba Bas, we discussed the idea of chazaka, which is that you have over a 3-year period, right, you can create a chazaka, but a chazaka has to be with the taina.
Right.
So it's not that you just have a squatter's rights. If you're there 3 years, there's no questions asked. But the point of 3 years is that you don't have to show a document of whatever claim you're making. But you have to make a claim, like I bought it. You can't just say, I've been here 3 years, it's mine, but you have to make a claim, either I bought it, it belongs to my parents, whatever it is, you have to have a valid claim before you can just have that for years. All right. So he says, if you look, skip down and tell us, he asks a couple of questions. One of them is your question. So then he says, Al Kain Nira. I think it's about right before the Tosfos Rid starts. Remember the three lines up from where the Tosfos Rid starts on the side there. It says, Al Kain Nira Kaperish Rach. They don't know yet that it's stolen property. They come out and they nish beis arvi mishum chash shema timse akum mehem stoda sheina shalom. The whole point of the it's a general chash. We make her swear not because we know there's stolen property here, because that could be, it could be, there will be some there. The way you clock breaking like Zorla, and they won't be able to reverse the situation.
Assuming we'll collect them.
Right, they've taken because the mashim gofta, because they didn't know there was a problem, so they just each took their properties, and they're going to move on in life. So the point is that at this point, we want to protect the three in case in the future something will come up, and therefore we make it take a shvu on that kashash. Right, so that's I still think Michael's question is a valid question. Daniel, I'm sorry. That the shvuah does not solve the problem. It just makes her feel better in the end, right? That it's not going to be that she's not getting twice. Right, it doesn't get her back the property in the end, right? That's right. Rav Nachman, okay, so now I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rabbi. So Kuli Amma Moshe Gobba Lo Gobba. Right now he says, no, everybody agrees what is taken is the last property is low gobble. I'll just point out here, because it happens to be an important topic here, but our Gemara in the beginning of the parak included the opposite. Right? It says that what? From our Mishnah, Shema Mino, that a Baal Chov Mu'uchar, right, is what's much a gobble gobble. Whatever they take is good. Right? So that's a Tosfos going gobble gobble. So Tosfos over there tries to deal with the fact is, how come further on in our Gemara, it seems to be Kuli Amma Lo Gobba, and we see in Erechon, there's another Gemara that's Lo Gobba. So Tosfos tries to deal with the fact that why, earlier in our parak, that the Gemara seems to lean very heavily, that what you take is taken, even though your lean is later. And over here, the Gemara seems to be the opposite. So I'm just Tosfos generally just breaks down between karka and metalkalei. It's an interesting differentiation there. It says that earlier on it was talking about metalkalei, and over here it's talking about karka. I'm pointing out to Tosfos, I'm pointing out the issue. It's a very big issue because it has huge, huge halakhic ramifications. But just for, if anybody wants to look into it further, just pointing out that is an issue, and Tosfos here and the other Rishonim deal with that. Right, but also, now how does Rav Nachman explain the Gemara if he says that everybody agrees it's much a gava lo gava? They're arguing about whether we're worried about her devaluing the property. So we worry about what the fact is. She's saying, according to Rashi, now it's more a little more understandable to Gemara, right? She's worried. She knows number three has questionable property. So there's a good chance, according to the Tanakhama, that she's going to lose her property. All right, but according to both of them, Tanakhama and Ben Anas, there's a good chance she's going to lose her property. So the Tanakhama says what? So she'll lose her property, the other one will get the property, and that's it. Ben Anas says, no, what are we worried about? We're worried that what if she knows there's an error on the third woman's property, she's not going to invest in this property. Because she knows there's a good chance she might lose the property. So she'll let it, she'll let it devalue, basically. And by her letting it devalue, the third woman will lose. Right, because then she's gonna go below the value of her ksuba, and she'll lose out in that way. Now again, what is Benanas' solution? Benanas' solution is that we say, lo tifra ele b'shvua. So take a shvua. Now I don't think the shvua helps in the sense that, and the shvua doesn't make her invest more in the property. I think, to what Dan was saying before, that the shvua just makes her be sure that she's not letting the value of the property devalue because she's collected her ksuba in another place. It maybe gives her more incentive that if she keeps this will be her property. Right, now Tosfos has to explain it based on your question, is that the way Tosfos explains, they don't know yet that there's any issue. So he's going to have to explain Shematiksev is what? The Shematiksev is that maybe she'll suspect, I mean, just like we're hostage that maybe a party will come and take the first three, she in her mind will think maybe someone's going to take the other properties, I'm going to lose my property. Not that she knows, not that there's a likelihood. In Rashi's case, it's easier because we already know there's a question about one of the properties, so there's a good reason for her to believe her property might take it. Right? The dose was, it's not that anybody knows, it's just that maybe it will happen, and therefore she won't invest in the property. Right. The machlokas here is about a statement of a bike shisha, which is the question that was asked yesterday. What do you mean the fourth woman can go out without a shvua? Don't we have a general principle? Lo tifra min yisomim el b'shvua. So, given she doesn't have to swear to the other women, why doesn't she have to take a shvua to the yisomim for the residual in the estate? If you want to be gobek suba, so she's got to take a shvua to the yisomim. So what happened to that? The tanya bike shisha, okay, the mishnah or. I mean, the statement price of Tabak, she said, you saw him, Shamru, told him, Vain Tarklamark Tanim. When we say that the woman has to take shvua, or doesn't have to take shvua, because she doesn't have to take shvua, you saw him, Shamru, told him, Vain Tarklamark Tanim. It applies both to Kedolim and to Kitanim. So therefore, Tanakama lays the Abayit. Tanakama doesn't have Abayit, so therefore in our Mishnah, when we're talking about, let's assume we're talking about Yisomim Gedolim, if we're talking about Yisomim Gedolim in our Mishnah, right, then there's no need for the Shvua of Lo Tifra Min Yisomim Elavit Shvua. Right, whereas, the Benanas is going to hold what? The Benanas is laid the Bayik Yishisha. He holds the Bayik Yishisha, which means what? Yes, that if she wants to take from Yisomim, no matter if they're Tanim or Gedolim, she's going to have to take the Shvua. And that's what it means. Lo Tifra El B'Shvua is that we have Yisomim Gedolim, and he's got it.
Not for the other people.
She's got, right, not for the other women, but rather from the Yisomim themselves. Alright, so that's the case, all right, it's not important what the case is, but Kshisha, it's not a case. But all right, Amar Ravuna.
Why don't the first woman have to swear?
Because it's, right, well, they are swearing anyway. I mean, since they're swearing to the other women, then we don't require
them
to.
They're not swearing. The fashion.
They are. Yisra Rishona goes to Lishniya, Shniya Lishlishi, Shlishi the Revit. The Revit's the only one who didn't get a Shvua. The only one who doesn't have a Shvua right now is the Revit. So the Revit is an imposed Shvua because of Yisona.
And those Shvuas that the first three women take, right.
It's
all inclusive of everything?
Well, so the Shvua to the Yisona and the Shvua to the other women is the same Shvua, which is that I didn't take my Ksuba from somewhere else. I mean, I didn't pocket some money.
Right, so they're already swearing.
Right. And she wasn't a taker, she doesn't right. not have any women to swear to, but then she has to swear to the Yisona that she didn't pocket money from right. the estate to pay for Ksuba, and now she's not taking double here. Right, I'm Rabuna. How do you train Ake? Who trains Shutvid? So you have this interesting, this very is a Lachlamaisa type of case. You have two brothers, or you have two Shutvimia partners. The Islahu Dina Baharikat. They have a din with another individual. Someone is suing the partnership, right? There's a litigation with the partnership or litigation with the brothers. So now, but also Chaminau Bahadeh Ledina. So they go to din, but only one of the partners is there, right, and litigates with him. Lo Matzi Idach LeMeimar, the other partner, the other brother can't come and say, At La Bal Debrim Didi At. Right? You're not my, you litigated with my partner, but you haven't dealt with my issues yet. No, but we say what? That when the one brother or the one partner went, he litigated for the partnership as a whole, not for himself as an individual. Right? Ella Shluchete Shluchute Abad. He's a representative of the partnership, not of himself, but of the partnership. So equal Rav Nachman the Surah, Shailua Kihai Gab. Now they ask him a question like this. My, what is it? Amalu, must be Sani. That's our Mishnah. Why? In our Mishnah, technically, what each of the women should have to take a Shavua to all the other women. Right, but yet, what do we say? And each of the instances, they're all quote-unquote partners, because they all are collecting out of the estate, and therefore when woman number one takes a shvua, she should have to take a shvua from 2, 3, and 4, because they're all going to collect after her. Right? So therefore, when she makes a shvua to number two is not really representing herself, but representing all the women or all the estate that comes after her. And so therefore, that's a similar case. When you have two partners here, if one partner litigates or one partner gets the shavua, that should suffice for the partnership as a whole. So where it says, oh, what do you mean? Like this is just the loktani. So the ilu, I'm sorry, Rishon the shlishi loktani. She doesn't have to take a shavua. The Rishon doesn't have to take a shavua to the shlishis. So that my time up, Abishum the shluchay say abda, right? They're representing all the women. Each woman is representing all the women or the estate as a whole. Right. So where it says, me dummy. Awesome, Shvulachad. This is a great Pachan. Shvulachad, Shvulamea. Right? It's generally we say, Ner Lachad, Ner Lamea. But Shvulachad, Shvulamea. What's the difference if the person's willing to take a Shavua? A Shavua is not unique to an individual. A Shavua is that I'm taking a Shavua, that I'm telling the truth. Right? It doesn't matter who's standing opposite me. The Shavua is Beni and Ben Hashem. It's between me and Hashem. And then I'm making representation that what? That what I'm saying is true. So it doesn't matter if I'm taking the Shavua to number two or number three. I'm taking the exact same Shavua. The wording is the same. The Shavua is going to be the same. So when I take the Shavua, it's not that she is representing the other women. It's that the Shavua she takes to the number two is the same Shavua she would have taken to 3 and 4. So once she did it once, she's basically done it for all of them. She's qualified for all of them. But what? Lo Amran, had I been present there, I would have better claims. I'd have argued the case better. So the Shuto could say, what? That you litigated with him. Now litigate with me, because I have much better claims now. So Mar says, Lo Amran, Lo Ita Bimato. The only time you can make such a claim is when he's not in the city. If he was not present during the case, then he can make a claim that had I been there, I would have done a better job, and he can litigate separately. If he was in the city, he probably let him make it. He should have shown up in the case. I mean, in fact, if he had the possibility of being at the case and he chooses not to take the case, he can't then later come along and say, I don't like the outcome, I want to litigate separately. It has to be what? That he just wasn't available. He wasn't there to be at the case. If he wasn't there to be at the case, then he can make a claim, I would have litigated differently, and then he has the right to litigate it on his own behalf. Right. Which is obviously a lot of ramifications when you go to litigate with partners. Whether you have to bring both of them to din, or whether you have to, right, or whether litigating with one of them will suffice for the representation of the partnership.
The cases are a little bit different. Although partners could have, generally speaking, the expectation is that in a partnership, the partners want to have the same interest.
Right, the same vested interest.
The same vested interest. The women, on the other hand, their interest is solely for themselves. They want to get out as much as they can.
Right. So the assumption in partnership, I mean, at least in part, today, the partnership works a little differently, but there even, the inside of partnership is that we want to get out as much money. There are partnerships for Rebbe, but even our partnerships today, each partner, even though during the partnership we tend to be friendly, but whenever they dissolve, exactly, when partnerships dissolve or whenever there's any issues, you know that it becomes, if you see how much litigation goes up in partnerships, right, when they fight about
having... You need a good partnership agreement.
Right, because otherwise, right, in the end, splitting it up, or many times it happens, unfortunately, it's when one of the partners passes away, right, then it becomes a massive issue about how to divide the partnership up or how to value the partnership. Right, Itmar. They shtoros hayotzim biyom echad. Since it's going back to our mission, you have two shtoros that are what?
Same day.
That come same day. So Rava Mar Chokim. So now there's no way to say one has lien rights beforehand. So you obviously have two shtoros, say 100 each, and there's only 100 in the estate at this point. 100 for them to collect, even in the estate. And for the person, there's only 100 of karka to collect from. So Rav says Chokim. Since nobody has a right before the other one, so the best thing to do is what?
Rashi didn't say that.
Right, we'll split it. I'm saying that. All right.
Well, Rashi said it was a beish shtoros mochar soda achas.
All right. So Rashi, right, okay. I'll do that in a second. All right. Fine. So he starts to get to be a mechad, right? Rav Amar Chokim, Mushma Amar Shulda D'Dayan. That it's up to the Dayanim. All right. So this points out, right? What does it mean? Afilu b'achas, right? So then Rashi over here says what?
You simply read double sold the field.
Right. That was Mechor Matana. That's the way Rashi learns it over here. Right? It ain't, because we're talking about a Shibud over here. And the Shibud matters which day you matter. So if you look in Tosfos Shnei Dvarim or Yotzei Me'echad, there is Shel Mechor or Shel Matana. It's either a sale or a gift. Shmo Amar Shel D'Dayin. But the Lo Dami the Hadatana, you Kulam Yotzei Mishachas. It's not similar to our Mishnah. Which is what? They all came out in 1 hour. Which is what? They're over there, they are Shabbat. Why? Because over there, they are all creditors, basically. They're all creditors to the estate. They're coming out. The awesome Bishibud Ayri. Over there, we're dealing with what? A lien on the estate. And their liens all start at the same time. When does your shibud start? The day after your star is written. Because we assume the star is written at the last moment on the day that it's marked at. And therefore your lien starts the subsequent day. Rashi went this way, is that in our case here, there's reason to believe that one of these individuals has precedence over here. Whereas in our Mishnah, there's no reason to believe that any of them have a precedence because we're dealing with a lien. A lien always starts at the same time. When a lien, you're all equal in the lien. Whereas when you sell something or you give something as a gift, even though they have the same date on it, there's a possibility, right? What? There's a possibility that what? That one of them was given before the other. Meaning that it's a likely possibility that they were given one, right? It was probable that the one was given before the other, and then there's reason to have not be split evenly. Alright, so now, well, what this matters is what the Shodah D'Dayin means. Alright, so here, this is actually it's a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos earlier on Pei Hei. That day I didn't have time to speak about it, but there's a Shodah D'Dayin that means what? Shodah D'Dayin means the judges get to decide. What does it mean the judges get to decide? So Rashi always believes Shodah D'Dayin means what? That the judges look at the circumstances in the case, and they say who is likely to be the one he gave the gift to first, or more likely the one that he wanted to give the gift to. And they take all the evidence at hand, and they take even circumstantial evidence, that they believe this would have been the will of the individual. That's what they believe is Shodah D'Dayin. This would have been the will of the individual. Whereas what? Shmuel, we had this with Tuvia. With Tuvia, when they gave away the money to Tuvia, which Tuvia was it? So the Gemara there says, when it's Tuvia, when there's more than one Tuvia, then what is Shodah D'Dayin? Right, Rav Tuvia, exactly, right. That was the Gemara there, very good. So there it says, Shodah D'Dayin. It's up to the Dayanim in the end. They decide. So Rashi over there says, what does it mean the Dayanim decide? They see who is he more likely to be friendly with, or who would be more likely to give this property to? As they do. So it's on the spot, says Rabino Tom, says, no. Shodah D'Dayin means the judges get to decide. Side period. I mean, if they don't, it's an inconclusive case, and the judges just, they make a decision. That's it. They get it in their hands. It's like giving it over to the, giving it over to the Tamakakum, say, do what you think's best, just to, do the right thing. And, but not that he's doing it off the evidence of the case. All right, so that'll make a difference here. That's why. By, By Rashi, it makes more sense, I think, to say Mechor Matana Rashi, because when he says Shod the Dini, right, then he means that they're not going to look at the evidence in the case to decide which way the case should have gone. See, by debtors, that doesn't make so much sense, according to Rashi. Because right? According to him, if they're debtors, debtors have equal claims, and they all are given, their Shibud all begins the next day. So it doesn't matter when the day was written, their Shibud all begins the next day, and then there's no reason to believe one has a better right than the other. But when you give a present, when you give a gift, then what? Then there's reason to believe, what? That one of them would have precedence over the other. I mean, whoever got the gift first. I mean, here, one guy, he basically gave the gift to, or gave the property to, the other one, he sold them an empty bag, right? It wasn't there. So that's what Shod the Dini, according to Rashi, would mean. In Tosfos Pshat, right, Shod the Dini here means that you give it to whoever. So right there, I don't know, it could be the possibility that if we're talking about even in case, even though Tosfos himself here doesn't say it, that, that it doesn't necessarily mean that, doesn't mean that it has to be that way, because according to Rain and Tom, even if it was a Shibud, if Shod the Dini means what? Just give it to whoever you want, right? That's still a conclusion to the case of Shibud. I'm just pointing it out, based on the different way you learn Shod the Dini, might change how you view the case. Even though both Tosfos actually learn, like, yes, you were saying Mechor Matana, right? I mean, so they have. Right?
It wasn't me, it was Rashi.
Rashi. Right? So you pointed out that Rashi said it. Yeah. I think it's Rashi, the Shitasa, that showed that the Dini means that they're going to look at the evidence in the case. Alright? So now, Rav Eshter, Yosem Biyachar, Rav Amar Chokin, Shlomar, showed that the Dini. Lema, Rav Damar, Rabbi Meir. That Rav holds like Rabbi Meir, that what? Eidei Chatima Karti. That the Eid, how? There's Machlokas in Shtar. What is the evidence of a Shtar? Is Shtar the actual transaction, and the even the sign on the transaction are what? They're the ones that are Mekayim the Shtar, and what? They create the transaction. Or is a Shtar just the evidence that a transaction transpired? And that the Eid ADC, right? The agent that the transaction happened, and the Shtar just gives evidence that that transaction transpired. So that's what my folks in Gittin and other places, right? That Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar disagree with it. They are disagreeing in Gittin, and generally they disagree, it would apply to other Shtars as well. So the Amar Rabbi Meir, the Amar Eid right, that the signatures on the document are the ones that caused the transaction to be happen. So if that's the case, what? Then they could have been written at the same time. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says they could have had it to be simultaneous. It could be a possibility where what? Where each that when you sign on the document itself, each eight could be signing on each other document at the same time. And you could have a possibility where what? Both documents happened at once. So therefore, Rav says Chokin, because that's a possibility. Whereas, Shmuel Amar the Rebbe Loso, the Amar Eid de Mesirat Parti, that what? That the transaction itself is evidenced by Eidim who saw the transaction. The Shtar is just there to what? To give proof that this transaction took place earlier. Not that that's the transaction. In that case, when you do Eidim Sira, it's unlikely that he can't sell the property at the same time to the two people, right? Then one of them would know there's a problem. Right? He sold the property in two subsequent transactions, right? One after the other. And then they wrote the Shtar later. The Shtar is just evidence to that transaction took place on that day. But Shmuel's saying, but nevertheless, one of these transactions took place first. Just as the Shtars came out on the same day, but never the transactions should have taken place on the same day. Right, I just pointed, Rashi says it's because they signed the Shtar at the same time. So also some of the other Rishonim point out that it's not that. It's in a place where we believe a Kenyan is that generally you don't get a Shtar for a Kenyan by Karka. Park Kesef is called a Karka. But it was in a city where they wrote Shtaros for the Kenyan Kesef. So therefore what? Even though they did the Kenyan Kesef in two subsequent transactions, nevertheless, that the transaction is not complete, there's no Shtar written. So even though technically they were two earlier transactions, but when they signed the document, that's actually the transaction. So they could have signed it, or they could have put the documents, or what, even though they're the only evidence, they're the completion of the Kenyan. Since they're the completion of the Kenyan, right, then Eidet Siva Chachmet. Right, that's why. So since they're the ones that makes it in the end, so even though the transactions took place at different times, when they come and give the documents, those could be at simultaneous. So they could be at the same time to evidence for the Eide Chasima there. All right, so Gemara says, well, the Kuliyama Karabi Elazar, because the Lachas like Rabbi Elazar, that Eide Mesira Akarte. Rav Shmuel gave it this. Rav Shmuel Chaluka Adifa, that splitting is a better solution when you have an uncertainty. Giving 50-50 is the sure, that's the better solution. Shmuel Saba showed that I know it's That what? That when we, that the Dayanim, using the evidence in their hands, when they split it, they're going to come up with a better solution than splitting 50-50. Right? That's the Machlokas about when you have these uncertainties, what's the better way to go? Should we just give an objective split, meaning just say 50-50? At least, you know, we're at least 50% right, right? That's their feeling.
Or, nobody's whole, but then nobody's whole.
Right, what?
Nobody's
whole, but nobody's totally wrong. Or they would say, so did the Dayanim, where maybe there's a possibility that we'll get the whole thing right, and then it'll come back to the right? Or do we say, show that daddy has the possibility of one person losing out entirely, meaning that he might end up in a position where he's the rightful owner and he's getting nothing? Alright, can we really set up like Rabbi Lazar? I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rab. Halacha Rabbi Lazar, but Gittin. That what? Halacha is like Rabbi Lazar by Gittin, right? Ki amatrei kamei dishmo amar apishtoros. That even by other stars outside of Gittin, halacha is like Rabbi Michlau, the Rabbi Zohar, the stars low. And that's that he holds by other stars. In our case here, it's not Gittin, it's like regular star. Now how can you say the Rab holds like Rabbi Lazar by regular stars? Elam Chavart, the Rab, Rabbi Meir, Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar, right? No, it's clear that Rab is going to, in our case here, is going to hold like Rabbi Meir and Shmuel. He's going to hold like Rabbi Lazar, and that will explain their machlokes over here. Since you have the Shmuel, that sounds exactly like Rav. So that's the question. Shmuel, I'm a Shmuel. Hamani, Rabbi Meir here. I don't have a problem. That right? So is Rabbi Meir. I know. I'm a Rabbi Lazar. I don't like Rabbi Lazar. Somebody says, oh, he Rabbi Meir, he's a safe. But what are you going to do the second half of that? Right? I said, why? Because it says, Kotav le'echad u'moser le'echad. Right, so that he wrote a star from one of them, and then he gave a yisira to the other. Zesh Marshal Kana. The one that he was moser to is Kona. That sounds like who? That sounds like Rabbi Lozer, right? Rabbi Lozer believes Ede Misira, karate. So therefore that's Misira takes precedence over the Ksiva. Be Rab, be Mayor, I'm Icono. Why is there opinion on Misira? Right, Omar Ede Khatima Karate. He believes what? That it's the signatures on the document that create the Kenyan, which would be the first one, or the second one, it shouldn't be relevant at all. They never had a Kenyan, according to him. There's never a conclusion here. Gemara says, Tanahi. That is, okay, that's Gemara's inconclusive here. So he says, Gemara doesn't say anything, although it sounds like what? Sounds like it's going like Rav over here, that the Gemara is not, that Shmuel does not have an answer to that being like Rabbi Meir. That's it. But the Gemara then says, Tanahi. This machlokes about what? Whether Shuda Adif or Chalukah is Adif, that is a machlokes Tanahi. Right, not that it's machlokes tanaim about Ede Misira or Ede Khatima, because we know that. That's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, so we know that already. Tonight is that even this Rav and Shmuel's argument is also machlokes tanaim. Right? So what's the case here? This is a wild case here that a person says, go take $100 to another person. And he gets to the place, right? And he finds that the guy's not there. Hello, Matsu. Right, because he died. Whoever the guy's giving the gift to, he went to give a gift to someone, and they get there, and the guy's dead. Then what? But in the meantime, the giver of the gift
also dies.
Right, so now he doesn't know what to do. This the individual had given the one to give the gift, right? Said, give it to this person, and then this person doesn't exist, he's not around, and then what? And then he comes back, and he has no more instructions from the individual. So what do you do with the money now? Does the money go to the estate of the giftee? Right, or does it go to the estate of the giftor? Right? Who does it belong to now? The property is almost in no man's land. And where do we return the money to? Do we give the money as if the guy was alive and then pass it on to his yorkshire? Or do we say, no, he met this individual himself, and now it goes back to the original estate, to the giver, and it'll go to his children. So there, the chamim rom yachoku. You split it between the two estates. I mean, the two yorkshire are going to split the gift here. Here's your slish, yasir. No. What? The other Tana holds,
It's like Shudadani.
Right, Shudadani, that the shlish, the appointee, who is the shliach to execute this order, will make a determination of what he thinks the guy really meant. Meaning that when he gave him the instruction,
the guy wasn't there when he gave it, then he wasn't thinking, if the guy dies, do I want to go into his kids or not? Right. I think it's different than the case before where you could have, you know, take a snapshot back and say, what did you run into this guy?
What happened?
The circumstances changed.
Right, but here it's again, the Gemara is really different when we have a suffix. I mean, when we have a suffix about what the outcome is going to be of the case. We have money or we have an option here and we have to deal with what, you know, what do we do? Do we look at it and just say split 50-50 because we don't want to make any assumptions? Or do we make assumptions of what the person really would have wanted? Do we try to look into what his intention would be or what's more likely the outcome?
I'm saying the difference is that if there was a clear intention, we still know what it is. Here, when he gave it, he didn't know God would die, so he wasn't doing
it. Right, but he might have intended to give it to him or his kids, meaning that we don't know. We just don't know what his intention was. So that's the question. The same question is at hand. Do we just say split and we say we're going to make an objective decision, or do we say we inject subjectivity to try to discern what the intent was here? All right. So he made the Rami Bar Chama, because we know the Nixa, the Rami Bar Chama. So she wrote off all her property to her son, Rami Bar Chama B'Tzafra, in the morning. But Ortha Kadvino the Marukva Bar Chama in the evening, she gave it to her other son. Right. So after Rami Bar Chama, the Kamei Rav Sheshes, so he came for Rav Sheshes, Ukmei B'Nixa, and gave him all the property, because she gave it to him in the morning. So after Marukva, the Kamei Rav Nachman, so Rami Marukva didn't like that, so he went to Rav Nachman, Ukmei B'Nixa, so he gave him all the property. So you have two Dayan and Nasa, what do they say? Get after Rav Sheshes, the Kamei Rav Nachman, so they forget it. The litigants don't matter anymore. Let's find out what's going on at the judge level here. So Rav Sheshes shows up to Rav Nachman and says, I'm letting my time off in Marukva. What are you doing? So Rav Nachman says back, my time off on Marukva. What did you do? Meaning, like, what do you guys give me? Tell me what you did. I'm like, the Kodesh. It was first. She gave it in the morning, and then gave it either. So I'm like, Atum Yushalayim Yasvinan, the Kasvinan shows. Our mission already told us what? That the only time that we worry about shows, about not what time of the day it is in Yushalayim. So Yushalayim, they usually wrote times in the Sharas. But in places they don't write the time in the Sharas, and whatever the date is, that everybody's the same or equal on that day. That there's no differentiation within that day. So Elamar, my time over Hachi. So as he chases then says back to Rav Nachman. Okay, so then what was your reasoning?
Why'd you give it to Maruk?
Yeah, why'd you give it to Maruk? He's the same.
Worse issue than one.
Right, Kamalei showed it to Dinah. That's the stock here, showed it to Dinah, and I think that she wanted to give it to
Maruk.
Kamalei, and then I showed it to Dinah. So Jason says, all right, then when I gave it to Rami Bar Chama, I was also doing show to Dinah. So I'm like, first of all, the Anna Dinah, Omar Lab Dinah. First of all, I'm Dayan.
I'm the official.
I'm like, he was Rav Nachman was known, right? We've seen this earlier in the Sefer. They go to Rav Nachman whenever they have Dayanah's questions. I'm the big guy, the big Dayan, and you're not. So whatever I say goes, that's first of all. So when you say show to Dinah, right, it means, you know, come to the big guy. Now, some of the Rishonim point out over here, when we say show to Dinah, you see from here that show to Dinah doesn't just sound mean Dayanah. It means that you got to go, show to Dinah goes, means go, even Rav Sheshes, who's not a slouch or anything like that, he's a Dayan, but he means go to the Dayan that's a mumcha, meaning that you have to go to the best Dayan here. It doesn't mean any some Dayan can make a show to the Dayan. You see here that Rav Nachman says, in the face of Rav Nachman, Sheshes is meaningless, his show to Dayan. Right, Mara Lav Dayan, but Oz, Mikara Lavatar Sokhi Atzisla. Because second of all, when you gave it to him, you didn't give it to him based on show to the Dayan.
You can't change his mind.
Right, you can't change. The reason for your psak fell, so your psak's going to fall. You can't say, now my psak stands, and that what? The reason will be fine. Sahano straight shari, the auto the kamei de Rav Yosef. So these two sharim came before Rav Yosef. Chad avakotu b'chamsha b'nisan. One of them was written on the fifth of Nisan. Chad avakotu b'nisan stama. And one of them had what? One just Nisan in it. So one of the possibility is one has Nisan, it could either be before or after. We don't know. So that's it. Nisan in the custom. So then, okmei Rav Yosef. He put the guy who had the fifth of Nisan into the property. He says that he has more. So I'm like, I'm going to lose out. I'm like, you have a lower right here. Why? You are what? The claim that you always make is that was made on the 29th of Nisan. So you don't have a strong claim to come here and say that I was prior to him. Right? The guy in fifth of Nisan can say, I know when mine was. There's that, but this guy doesn't know, and therefore we can be dope to him and say what? That he has a lower claim because we have no idea when it was. We'll just assume it's to his detriment, right? That it's after the fifth of Nisan. So I'm like, Nikhil, Li, Meir, Tirfa. So give me a Torah. What's the Torah? Torah means that give me exact document to go take out of property that is Meshubad already. Why? Because I'm into, both of us have liens here on this property. So write me a property starting from what? From Aleph Iyar. From the first day of Iyar, write to me that anything that was sold at, before, after Aleph Iyar, I'm entitled to. Why? Because the worst I am, the worst my claim can be is what? The last day of Nisan. The worst that our transaction is going to take place is what? Was the last day of Nisan. If it was last day of Nisan, then anything that was sold or done after Nisan, meaning from the first of the year on, I can go in on due, because I have a lien on those properties. So at least write me a document that says that I have a right to now go collect. Because this other guy, the fifth of Nisan, took all the property there. Mm-hmm. Now maybe if this guy sold property or did anything else, any other transaction after that, I should have a right to go get it.
So what do you need in writing? You could just go to the shkatz.
Okay, because he needs the shkatz here, but you have to go to basement to say that they checked. There was no bnei chorei and that everything else, there's nothing available to him.
Not to the date, even if he had a
right, property. Right, to give him something. If he goes and shows up to somebody to give him your property, you can't do that. He doesn't have a date
of the chodesh.
No, but he says, write me a shkatz here from Alabi or Shkodesh here. So I'm like, hey, you have to the Meimar Lacha at Barkad Benisan. Because I can't do that. Why? Because if you go and try to collect from people who bought lochim that were after Niyar, they're going to say, no, you know what, you made a mistake. Your document was really from Aleph Nisan. If your document is from Aleph Nisan, you should have taken the property that the Hei Benisan guy took. And then the Hei Benisan guy is really our problem for it. He's the one that's going to collect from us. You don't have a right to collect from us because they can push and say that it's Aleph Nisan. So he says, I can't give you a document that says what collect everything from Aleph Nisan. Because really, the lochim, or the people who transacted the property after Aleph Nisan, are going to say, you're the wrong guy. He took your property, not us. So you have to go back to him. So this guy's in bed. So he says, what is he going to do? So he says, what can he do? Niftalar Shola Dodi. The only solution for him is to write basically what they have to do is the two, he has to get the guy from Hay from Nisan, and then they have to write to each other basically create a joint party. They have to create a partnership, which they go to Din together. If they go to Din together, then either way, they have a right to be Torah from the Kuchos, starting from Aleph Iyar. So anything that was done after Aleph Iyar, if they're both there, then nobody can say, one of them is entitled to collect property. So he has to get our shot. Hey, Benisai doesn't care, he's got his property already. So what he has to do is he has to convince him or pay him something to get him to, right, our shot, to give him a right to collect on his behalf as well. And basically to give him a document that says you can collect on my behalf and your behalf. So if he has both, then he's representing both parties, then he can make a firm statement that from Aleph Iyar, for sure, at least one of us has a part here, and we can collect from you guys over here.